Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, dear saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of A Few Minutes a Day with Moses Henry Jones, yours truly. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, you know that the book, The Spirit of Python Dunce, is about to be released on Monday, and that's what these broadcasts are all about. I am trying to do something preemptively. I'm trying to help Mr. Jensen Franklin, and he's going to be beside himself. I believe he's going to be beside himself once these books roll off the presses. The first one coming off the press this coming Monday, they'll be shipped out on Monday. And by the way, if you would like a sampler, if you want a little taste of what the book is about, just email me at the email address there in the broadcast description. You know, for every one of these broadcasts, we have a broadcast description. Well, I have an email address that you can email me. Email me and say, Brother Jones, let me have the PDF copy of the sampler. We'll get it off to you. We'll give you a little taste of what you will get if you decide to buy the book. Now, let me recommend that you buy the book for a number of reasons. One is you're going to find out what a scam artist Jensen Franklin is, because that's what he is. He's a scam artist. His book, The Spirit of Python, is nothing but a pack of lies. So I expose him. You're going to find out who he is, that he is not a teacher sent from God, but he's a scam artist. That's number one. Number two is that this teaching, the Spirit of Python, is very prevalent in the church. If you read this book or if you read this trilogy, it will inoculate you. it will protect you from all of the other silly teachers who are also promoting what Jensen Franklin started. So this is a book that will inoculate you. It will protect you from any Spirit of Python teaching. And there's, listen, this teaching has gone universal. Universal. And listen, the third reason why you should get the book is because you're going to be supporting missions. All of the proceeds of this book is going to go to an account in which hopefully, if we sell enough books in the trilogy, we'll be able to have enough money to buy a property, to have a Bible school where we can train ministers. That's the goal. So I'll keep you informed. I'll let you know what's happening. Listen, each book is $20. Add the $5 shipping, $25. If we're able to sell 1,000 copies of Spirit of Python Dunce, that's $20,000. If we're able to sell 1,000 copies of Spirit of Python Ignoramus, that's another $20,000. If we're able to sell 1,000 copies of Spirit of Python Retard, that's another 20 grand. So you add up 20 grand times 3 is 60,000. That's enough for us to get a property. At least where we're at, we can get a property for 60 grand. Can raise $60,000. We'll be able to buy a property with a building on it, with a house on it. I'll turn that house into a school. And, of course, we'll do some add-ons as we go along, but we'll start training ministers for the Lord. That's the goal. So you'll find out who Jensen Franklin is. That's reason number one. Reason number two, you'll be protected against the teaching of the Spirit of Python, which is universal. And most likely, your pastor is parroting much of what Jensen Franklin teaches in his book. And number three, you'll be supporting missions, educational missions, the training of ministers' missions, which is what we need. We need some real good ministers. So go to the website. The website is right there on the broadcast description. And if you want a sampler first, if you want to taste and see how good the book is, email me directly. And we'll get the book, we'll get the sampler off to you. And this way you'll know, you can make an educated decision and say, you know what, the brother makes sense. What I've read thus far is very powerful. I need to get the book. So, my brothers and sisters, I want to help Jensen Franklin out. Now, you're saying, but you're destroying the man. No, I'm not destroying him. I'm bringing him to the knowledge of the truth. He is so deceived that he's deceived himself. As the Bible says, you know, Paul, speaking of silly women, says that they're so deceived, being deceived, silly women laden with sin being deceived. Well, there's preachers being deceived. Jensen Franklin is one of them. He deceives, but he was first deceived. Satan first deceived him, turned him into a tool of the devil, and now he's deceiving others. Now, some may say, well, you're destroying the man. No, I'm not destroying him. I'm bringing him to the knowledge of the truth in hopes that he would turn to Christ, in hopes that he would give up his fleecing ways and his scam artist ways and his lying ways. Because, listen, these are demonic lies. He's telling the lies. The devil is using him to tell these lies. And I document that in the trilogy. I document it. I use his book. I give you what he wrote in his book, and I show you how the devil is using him. How this is it's impossible. It's impossible for God to have given him what he claims God gave him. It's impossible. Impossibility. It's a no way, Jose. Absolutely. Well, I'm helping the man out. Now, remember, I'm going to be called a hater. There are people who are going to rise up in his church. When this comes out, and he's going to have to face his congregation, And if you listen to yesterday's broadcast, which I don't want to rehash yesterday's broadcast, listen to it. It was, in my opinion, it was quite insightful. But Jensen Franklin's going to have to stand before his people and give them some kind of explanation as to why there's a picture of him on the internet with a dunce cap on. Who is this individual who is claiming that Jensen Franklin is a dunce? Who is this? And then, of course, Jensen Franklin's going to say, my brothers and sisters, this is a hater. This is a person who has misunderstood my heart. This is a person who has misunderstood my calling. Person who is a tool of the devil. The devil is using him to come against me and this ministry and you. And you'll know what will happen next. Someone will get up claiming to be in the spirit and prophesy, thus saith the Lord, I will cut that man down, blah, blah, blah. And someone else will stand up and they'll be speaking in tongues. And then they'll go from speaking in tongues to decreeing and declaring my demise, my downfall. I've seen it. Listen, saints, I've been in the church all my life. Since I was a little boy. Now, that doesn't mean I was saved. I got saved at 17, but I was going to church. My grandmother was taking me to church since I was an infant. As an infant, I slept in church pews. As an infant, I slept in Pentecostal church pews. As an infant. Now, I didn't come to Christ until 17. I didn't have my Jesus moment until I was 17. But I've seen enough in the church. I've been there all since I can remember. My Pentecostal grandmother used to lay me on the altar because I was, the doctors told my parents that I would not live past the age of 7. So what did my parents do? Well, they gave me to my crazy, who they thought was a crazy Pentecostal woman because she believed in divine healing. And she would take me to service and lay me on the altar and say to God, this one belongs to you, Lord. I dedicate him to you. Because my parents were heathens. My mom was a heathen, my father was a heathen. And they thought my grandmother was a crazy holy roller. So they gave me to my grandmother, and my grandmother would put me there and say, God, I dedicate them to you. Because there was no official dedication. My parents didn't bring me to the church and didn't bring me to the pastor so that he can dedicate. I had no official dedication. It was just my grandmother laying me before the Lord. The doctors telling my family that I would not live past the age of 7, and I'm way past that now. So I was raised in the church, came to Christ at 17, started in ministry soon after my conversion and soon after going to Bible college. So I know what goes on when somebody comes against the man of God. I know how the prayer warriors of the pastor spring into action. They start decreeing and declaring. We decree and declare that God will muzzle this person. Listen, I've heard it. I've seen crazy folk get crazy, get crazier. I'm trying to help Jensen Franklin. I'm trying to help him to come to the knowledge of the truth. But also, I realize that he's not going to come to me. If I say, listen, Jensen, let me advise you on what to do, he's going to reject my advice. He's going to look at me and says, well, who are you? You're just a hater. Who are you? He's going to look and he says, what does your resume read like? Are you a mega church pastor? And I'll have to say no because I'm not a liar. I'm not going to say yes and it not be true. I'm saying no. If you think a mega church is 6 people, because that's what's in my family, I pastor my family. I pastor 6 souls and a few feral cats. That's it. 6 members to my household that I shepherd. So that I don't think that makes a mega church 6 people. And then he's going to ask me, do you have a worldwide ministry? And I'll say, yeah, it's worldwide because I'm on the internet. No, 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 no. Do you have a television, not an internet ministry, Mr. Jones? Do you have a television ministry? Do you have a kingdom connection you can brag about? And I would have to say, no, I don't. No, I don't, Mr. Franklin. No, I don't have a kingdom connection television ministry I can brag about. So he says, I can't take advice from you. You're a peon. You're a nobody. And according to worldly standards, he's absolutely right. And then he will ask you, well, have you written anything that's ever been on the New York Times bestsellers list? And I would say, on the New York Times bestsellers list, I'm just trying to print books and sell them. New York Times best. No, no, Mr. Franklin, no. I can't say that I have that feather in my cap, because I don't. So he will say to me, who are you to be giving me advice? Do you sit on President Trump's advisory council? I will say, no, no, I don't. In fact, I've never been to Washington, D.C., Mr. Franklin, no. Well, I've been there many times. And I sit next to Paula White, and I sit next to all these other preachers, Jerry Falwell Jr. I sit next to them, and we advise the president. We're his evangelical council. Do you have that feather in your cap? And I would say, no, I don't have that feather in my cap. So who are you to advise me? And I would have to say, Mr. Franklin, on all those counts, you are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. So since I can't advise him, I went on a search because I don't want them, listen, the man's going to have a rough week, a rough couple of weeks, a rough couple of months, because I'm going to go crisscrossing this nation. I'm going to crisscross this nation with these books in my SUV, and I'm just gonna promote the series until we're able to expose this guy. Church world know that he's just a tool of Satan. So he's going to be embarrassed when he sees book cover number one. He's going to be extremely embarrassed when he sees book cover number two. And he's going to be extremely, extremely embarrassed when he sees book cover number three. And he's going to be beside himself, and he's going to be, one moment he's going to be crying, and the next moment he's going to be roaring like a lion. Listen to yesterday's broadcast. I kind of think it was brilliant. Because the night before I was sitting down with some people, and we were talking about what kind of reaction is Mr. Franklin going to have, and I gave them my take on, and I said he's going to have multiple reactions. And they said, Pray tell. So I got him an advisor. I got him a top-notch spiritual advisor, a top-tier guy, top-tier guy. And, of course, that top-tier person to advise Jensen Franklin is none other than Jensen Franklin. And yesterday we talked about the first pearl of wisdom that Jensen Franklin could give to himself as he is going through this major storm. Well, today, Mr. Franklin is going to give himself the second pearl of wisdom. The second pearl. Now, he has five pearls of wisdom, five. He preached the sermon, and I identified five pearls of wisdom that I want to see. And he preached this back in July 2017. He preached a sermon containing five pearls of wisdom, which I think apply to him today and are going to apply to him in the days and in the weeks and in the months to come. And I want to see if Mr. Franklin is one of those preachers who does practice what he preaches. Because, there's a whole lot of preachers that tell you to do, but they don't do what they tell you to do. We call them hypocrites. I remember one time preaching at a church, and as I was preaching at this church, while I was there that day, the pastor was informing this congregation that they were going into a 40-day fast. We're going into a 40-day fast. And he had people stand up and have them make commitments to this 40-day fast. Now, somewhere in between the 40-day fast, you know, we're talking Pentecostals now, radical, zealous Pentecostals. They just believe in fasting and praying and tarrying until the Holy Ghost comes down. Well, this guy, I was there that Sunday, and he's telling the church, you know, we're going into a 40-day fast, and I want to see how many of you. And I mean, basically, the whole congregation stood up. Large-sized congregation, they stood up. Now, we're talking about in the early 19, well, I would say mid-1980s. And this guy was going to have them go through this 40-day fast. Now, you're talking Pentecostals 1980s, which meant, you know, no water, no food, no nothing. I mean, that's we're not talking the Daniel fast where you stuff your face with fruits until you can't eat anymore. Not that kind of fast. We're talking about a real Pentecostal fast where they didn't eat anything for 40 days and didn't drink anything. Halfway through the fast, he calls me in a panic, and he tells me that he has an uproar in his church, and if I can go and help him. So I race over to the church. The members are, they are fit to be tied. They're just mad. So I get there and I said, well, what happened? They said, well, pastor has us on a 40-day fast. And we were downtown. We were walking downtown, and there is pastor sitting in this luxury restaurant by the window, and we saw him stuffing his face. He was eating a hamburger, and he's got us on a 40-day fast, and he's swearing up and down that he too is on the 40-day fast, but he was chewing away. We saw him put a hamburger in his mouth. And when he saw us and we saw him, we called this meeting. And that's why the pastor called me, because now he lost all credibility. Now his church folk wanted to throw him out of the church. And you see, you have preachers who don't practice what they preach. They have you tithe. They have you give 3 and 4 offerings, but they don't give 3 or 4 offerings. They don't do what they tell you to do. So we want to find out if Jensen Franklin is that kind of a preacher. We want to find out if he actually practiced what he preaches. So he preached a message about when you get offended. How should you react when you get offended? And I played the first pearl of wisdom yesterday. It's his audio. It's his audio. And I want you to hear it. Now, I can tell you what he said, but you're probably saying, well, I don't believe. I don't believe Brother Jones. I got to hear it from Jensen's mouth. Well, that's why I have the audio. Now, this is pearl of wisdom number 2. Let's listen to pearl of wisdom number 2. And this is what he's going to recommend now. If someone embarrasses you, if someone shames you, if someone talks about you, if they're offensive, if they come against you, this is how you should react. This is what he's telling his congregation. This is how you should react. This is the second pearl of wisdom. I gave you the first one yesterday, and I gave you the introduction the day before. So I want to encourage you to listen to all the broadcasts. Here is pearl of wisdom number 2. And this is what we want Jensen Franklin to do. This is what we would like him to do in the days to come. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start it off where he's talking. He's to refresh your mind. I'm just going to play what he said yesterday, the first pearl of wisdom. And the first pearl of wisdom is that you are to welcome the winds of opposition. You are to welcome the winds of opposition, for they will cause you to fly. They will cause you to soar like the eagle. So when someone comes against you, don't reject it. View it as a godsend. Use it. View it as a blessing in disguise. When somebody talks smack about you, when somebody writes a book about you, when somebody gossips about you or is talking behind your back and you find out about it, don't get mad. Welcome it. For the winds of opposition, the winds, you know, like a hurricane wind or tornado winds, the winds of opposition will cause you to fly high and soar like the eagle. That's number one. So welcome offenses. Welcome opposition. View them as a godsend. View them as a blessing in disguise. This is pearl number one. Here it is.
It's Superman, and no woman is Wonder Woman. We're all very vulnerable. We all have weaknesses, and I want to focus today on something all of us have a weakness in. Luke 17 and 1 is what the lesson is about. It is impossible that offenses will not come, but woe to him through whom they come. Jesus said, it is impossible that offenses should not come to you. It's just impossible for you to live your life. You're going to be offended. Something someone is going to say is going to offend you. It's not possible to escape it. It's coming. It probably already has happened. And here's a news flash. It's going to happen again and again and again. There's no way out of it, Jesus said. It will happen. There's no one exempt. Nobody's Superman. Nobody's Wonder Woman. This one's going to get you. There's no way to avoid it. Somebody's going to shame you. Somebody's going to outrage you. Somebody's going to insult you. Somebody's going to humiliate you. You're going to get offended. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get angry. You're going to get violated. Didn't you come to church to hear this? Your pride's going to be insulted. It is a biblical fact. Jesus himself said it is impossible for you to escape being offended in your lifetime. It's going to happen. And since it's impossible to escape it, you got to learn how to deal with it. Because not being offended is unachievable. It's not doable. There are no exemptions from it. It's going to happen to you. It's interesting that in New Zealand, only a certain amount of the birds can fly. 41% of the birds in New Zealand are flightless. The kiwi, the penguin, and on, they cannot fly. And here's the reason why. There are no predators on the island of New Zealand. They do not have snakes. They do not have wolves. They do not have bobcats. They don't have anything that would eat the birds. Therefore, if there are no predators, there's no need to fly. And when there's no need to fly, you lose, eventually, the ability to fly. If you go to New Zealand, and I've gone many times and preached, you'll see birds walking around everywhere, and they don't have wings. They have little knobs. They've lost their wings through the generations because nothing ever opposed them. Nothing ever came against them. Nothing ever was a predator in their life. So it's a predator that creates the ability to fly. If you want to scratch around in the barnyard for the rest of your life, then just don't have any enemies and just don't have any problems and just don't go through any offense. But if you want to soar like an eagle, you can, but it's going to require some opposition. In other words, airplanes take off going into the wind. If you talk to any pilot will tell you when they're taking off in an airplane, they want to know which direction the wind is blowing so that they can go into the wind, because it's the wind that gives the airplane something called the lift. Without the wind opposing the wings of that plane, it won't get lift. And it's so important that we understand that 41% of the birds in New Zealand cannot fly because they have never had opposition. They've never had a predator. They've never had a problem. And you'll never mount up with wings as eagles until you go through attack and you go through persecution and you go through being offended. Opposition enables you to do things you could not do had you not had opposition coming against you. It's what gives you lift. It'll make you lift your prayer life. It'll make you lift. You'll run to God. You'll mount up with wings as eagles and fly to God. And if you'd have stayed, if you don't have the opposition, you'll stay right where you are. God intends for the winds of contrary opposition to take you higher. They'll make you fly to God.
Now that's interesting, because in essence, the trilogy that I've written is going to cause, now if he receives it like the way he's preaching it, in essence, my trilogy, which is contrary to his book, which shames him because of his lousy research and his constant lying, my trilogy is really going to cause Jensen Franklin, to use one of his terms, I'm going to cause him to go to the next level. In other words, if he applies his own sermon, it's my book that's going to cause him to shift. You know how Jensen Franklin and his New Age buddies like to talk about the shift, and how they're always talking about you need to go to the next level. Well, if he takes his own advice, he doesn't have to stay like the Kiwi or like the penguin in New Zealand. I'm really the godsend. I am really the blessing in disguise. I'm the one that's causing him to soar and to fly as high as the eagle. So that's if he accepts his own advice. Now, let's listen to the second piece of advice that he gives his congregants. And I'm wondering now, with this trilogy, is he going to take pearl number two and apply it to himself? Or is he going to be a big old hypocrite? And instead of applying pearl number two, he's going to go run to an attorney, to which I would have my attorney count to his attorney. So he's not going to go anywhere if he runs like a baby to an attorney. So here is pearl of wisdom number two. Here it is.
What was taking place in this story in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel 10 is this. David was king of Israel, and he heard one of his old friends, King Nahash, had died. And he thought to himself, he's been kind to me. He was always kind to me. He was a good man. So I want to show some honor and be kind back to him. And I know his son is taking the throne. So as a gesture, like we would do here in America, if we heard a president in some other nation had died, we, out of respect, would the president himself would go, or he'd send his vice president, or he'd send some high official to show condolences and to show and hopefully give some comfort and share and say we care enough to send representatives on behalf of America to grieve with your nation. Well, this is what David was trying to do. He was trying to show kindness. So he sent two of his mightiest men in his army to go to this foreign country, the children of Ammon, the Ammonites. Their king had died, and his son was taking the throne. And when they got there, someone had gotten into the king, the young prince's ear, and said, do you really think that they're coming to show comfort to us, to show respect and honor to us? They're not coming for that. They're coming to kill. They're coming to spy out the land. They're measuring the walls. They're trying to figure out. They're here spying this place out. They're getting intel that they're going to take back, and they're noticing where our weaknesses are, and they're going to invade our city and take our city. And so the Bible said, after they were falsely accused, because they were falsely accused, And they were not there for that reason. They had no evil intentions. They were there to show kindness from their king. Now, this is important. These men were sent by the king, doing the king's will, when somebody is about to offend them. You can be in the perfect will of God and do everything right, and you still can't escape being offended. They falsely accused them, and the Bible said that this prince ordered that their half of their beard be shaved off. I'll explain how of a humiliating thing that was. And then that their skirt or their robe be cut off all the way in the back up to their buttocks to expose their rear ends. How humiliating. Half their beard cut off. I think it's funny whether you do or not. And they, do you want me to illustrate? And they cut off and they're showing their rear. It's like spank babies. I mean, these mighty men, for the mighty men, it probably would have been better had they beat them up or stabbed them or wounded them or cut them. But to go home like this, to go home totally humiliated, half of your beard is gone. And on top of that, your rear end is showing. And you spank baby, go home, and they're humiliated. Humiliated, and it's you talk about being offended. It wasn't a physical thing that was so bad. It was the emotional fact that they had been humiliated and offended. I'm not sure they would have got a lot of sympathy from other Bible characters. I doubt Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have been very sympathetic. We got thrown into the fiery furnace, and all that happened to you is you got a little trim to your beard and you're showing a little underwear. That's not persecution. You ought to go through what we went through. And maybe Daniel would have said, my goodness, that's nothing compared to what my enemies did to me. They threw me in the lion's den. But they're going through it. Mentally, emotionally. The Bible said that they leave that place humiliated. The cutting off of the beard in Middle Eastern thinking, still to this day, was distinction and honor and maturity. Like in the Middle East, they were tampering. When he shaved half the beard off of these men, they were tampering with their rank, with their identity, with their pride. They sent them home like children, humiliated. Who they were, a token of their authority, had been cut off, and now had cut off, and now they're showing their back parts are exposed. How humiliating. And it all happened doing the king's business, doing exactly what they were told to do. If you live for God and you seek to do his will, you will find yourself wounded doing God's perfect will. No one is exempt from it. If you get in a church like this, you will get wounded. Isn't that beautiful? Wow. Sing in the choir, you will get wounded. Usher, you will get wounded. Park cars, somebody's going to flip you a bird. You will get wounded. It's doing the will of God. If somebody's going to roll their eyes, somebody's going to talk about you. Welcome to life. I love this story because the Bible said as they were approaching coming back home, these mighty men, again, these were not weak men. These were not just little wimpy guys. They didn't even go prepared to fight. They probably would have fought, but they didn't even have their weapons with them. They were going on a peace journey, a comfort journey. And now they're coming home humiliated. They're looking at each other and about to come home to their hometown. And David hears what happened, and he sends a man out and says, don't let them come into the town. I don't want them in the town circle to be humiliated and the other people and the other mighty men to see them. Tell them instead to go to Jericho. Now listen to this. Jericho means sweet fragrance. I want them to go over there to that sweet place, and I want them to stay there and lodge there until their beard grows back, and we'll get a seamstress down there, and we'll get their rear ends covered up, and everything's going to be fine. But I need them just to go to Jericho, the sweet place. Go to Jericho. Listen to the instructions. When you get offended, here it is. I love the fact that he didn't let them come in and everybody see them in their shame. It reminds me of the prodigal son story when the father heard his prodigal son was coming home covered in the slop of the pig pen. He ran out with the robe, with the shoes, covered him, didn't want all those people to see him in his condition. I'm thankful we got that kind of king who doesn't want to humiliate us and doesn't want people to see our shame. Just go to Jericho. When somebody offends you, listen now, just go to Jericho and stay sweet. Your beard will grow back. Your beard, your respect will come back. Your honor will come back. Your authority, it's come. I know what they did was bad, but calm down, calm down. It'll all come back. It'll grow back. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Don't seek vengeance. If you just stay sweet, everything's going to get better. It's going to work for your good. Just keep the right spirits. Go to Jericho, the sweet place, and stay sweet. Stay at Jericho till your beard comes back. I promise you, everything's going to be all right. It's so hard to stay sweet when we get offended.
Now, you see, that's the second pearl of wisdom. Go to Jericho. When you go to Jericho, don't get mad. Don't get angry. Don't seek vengeance. Stay sweet. Stay in the sweet place. I'm just wondering... If Jensen Franklin is going to stay in Jericho. I wonder if he's not going to get mad. I wonder if he's not going to get angry. I wonder if he's not going to seek vengeance. I wonder if he can apply this message to himself. You know what my answer is? I doubt it. From the moment the books come out, this is going to be Jensen Franklin. This is going to be Jensen Franklin. That's going to be him 24/7. Crying. He's going to be mad. He's going to be upset. He's going to have a tantrum. His wife's going to give him a teething ring. It ain't going to work. They're going to put a pacifier in his mouth. That's going to work. They're going to change his diaper because maybe they think he's wet or he's poo-pooed on himself and he needs a diaper change. Or they're going to put him in the car seat and drive him around the community hoping that he'll fall asleep. No, he's not going to. This is going to be Jensen. He's going to be so spiritually colicky. He's going to be beside himself. And then he's going to get mad. He's going to get mad. He's going to get angry. He's going to seek vengeance. Trust me, saints. He's going to seek vengeance. He's going to seek vengeance. And while he's doing this, he's going to cry foul. He's going to say, I was doing the king's business. I was in the perfect will of God. I was telling people about the python spirit. While he's crying foul, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to play this record for him. I know who said they don't cry. Jensen Franklin said they don't. He said they don't cry. Why? Because they're at Jericho. They're at the sweet place.
No, big girls don't cry. Not if they listen to Jensen Franklin. Not if they bought his DVD. Not if they take his advice. They won't be crying. But you see, like Jimmy Swaggart. Have you ever seen Jimmy Swaggart cry? Oh, Jimmy Swaggart's a crybaby. Here's Jimmy Swaggart. This is Jimmy Swaggart crying like a baby.
I have sinned against you, my Lord.
Yeah, they all cried. Jim Baker cried like a baby. Marcus Lamb cries like a baby. They all cry. But my reply to them is, listen to Jensen Franklin's sermon and don't cry. Don't cry like a baby. Don't cry. Why? Because you should be at Jericho. You should be at the sweet place. You should stay sweet. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Don't seek revenge. Stay sweet.
Somebody offends you, listen now, just go to Jericho and stay sweet. Your beard will grow back. Your beard, your respect will come back. Your honor will come back. Your authority, it's come. I know what they did was bad, but calm down. It'll all come back. It'll grow back. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Don't seek vengeance. If you just stay sweet, everything's going to get better. It's going to work for your good. Just keep the right spirits. Go to Jericho, the sweet place, and stay sweet. Stay at Jericho till your beard comes back. I promise you, everything's going to be all right. It's so hard to stay sweet when we get offended.
Saints, we'll see come Monday. We're going to see it. We're going to see if Jensen Franklin practices what he preaches. We're going to see if he goes to Jericho. We're going to see if he goes to the sweet place and remains sweet. We're going to see, Saints. We're going to see. But I can tell you right now, he's not, because he doesn't practice what he preaches. He's a hypocrite. And that will be evident very, very soon. I'll be back tomorrow, Saints of God. I'll be back tomorrow with Pearl of Wisdom number 3. And who's giving us these pearls of wisdom? The one and only Jensen Franklin. The one and only author of the heretical book, The Spirit of Python. My brothers and sisters, if you want that sampler, email me at the email address there at the broadcast description, and order your copy. Get your copy of Spirit of Python Dunce and find out what all the hoopla is going to be about. God bless you.